PFT Media.
All episodes of The Experience with Chris Fio were recorded prior to the COVID-19 pandemic.
This is The Experience with Chris Fio. In each episode, Fio brings his unique and unashamed interview style to Central Florida. He conducts honest and open interviews with people that have the vocabulary and expertise that he lacks.
In this episode of The Experience with Chris Fio, Chris speaks with Rick Emerson about his podcast, Entering the Black Hole, as well as his affinity for all things outer space, working in the HVAC industry, and growing up in Florida.
Hello, everyone. Welcome back to another episode of The Experience with Chris Fio. Today, I have with me of the Entering the Black Hole is Rick Emerson.
How's it going, man? Thanks for having me, bro. I appreciate it. I'm from the Entering the Black Hole, by the way.
The Entering the Black Hole. My bad about that, man.
No, it's all right.
So how has your day been going so far?
Good, man. I actually, to be honest with you, 100%, I totally forgot about this interview. And when you called me, I was watching Live PD at my house, propped up with a beer. I didn't have a worry in the world.
I love that.
Now I have I forgot I have obligations today.
You are the host of Entering the Black Hole.
I am.
And it's one of the biggest podcasts known in Orlando currently. Tell me, how?
Well,
did
I appreciate that. I don't know if that's true.
one of the most well known. Just right. To make it more accurate. How did that get started? Take us back to day one.
Whew, man, what a long journey that is. It seems it's only been a little bit over 2 years, but I was knee deep in the news junkie chat room group family, you want to call it, group of like 15, 20 of us. Always hanging out, go to any event that they were doing, even meetups, chat meetups and stuff. We did all that, and that's where we really started, because that's where I met Anthony. And I met Anthony, I think the first time I ever met him in person was at an event they were doing at Ollie's. I think it was a Cinco de Mayo. It might have been the first Cinco de Mayo event they ever did. And I'll never forget. He came because there's like a group of us guys hanging out. You know, we've been established, you know, friends hanging out with the News Junkie chat room, and he's like, you know, kind of wandered his way in there and shit, and I noticed he's like just standing there, and you know Anthony, his back titties are just dripping sweat, he has his sweat going down his back crack, you know, and I'm like, here, man, you want to sit down? He's like, yeah, and he grabs my chair. I'm like, not my chair, motherfucker. I said, grab that one over there and sit down. That was the first interaction I ever had with Anthony in person, and we talked a little bit after that, not really much at that event. Later on, we ended up being like Fit Henry's buddies. We'd go to Fit Henry's together. He'd always end up there where I was there. And then one day we were sitting at the bar and we were talking about like space and like deep space shit. We're talking about black holes. It actually was one of the things that we talked about. Wormholes, just, you know, evolution.
So this didn't start out as a comedy-based podcast then. Why did you want it to be originally science-based?
Well, I thought it was a good concept, you know. I knew that the original idea of us starting the podcast was on that basis. We were talking about, you know, science and basically like any religion shit, like putting holes in the Bible and, you know, why is there so many billions of stars that are so far apart? That, you know, if God created it, why did he create just this one and not everything? How come we don't know all of them in the stories of the Bible and all that shit, you know? And we just went deep, and I'm like, hey, man, like, we could record this, you know? And this is before, like, the quote, podcast boom.
Really?
Like, before, like, podcasting was really getting, people were starting to do podcasts already.
Yes.
But they wasn't really exploding yet, like it is now. Like, now it's exploding bigger than it ever has.
Yeah, it's like the gold rush.
Yeah. So everyone's got a podcast. But we're like, hey, man, if we can record this, I think at least some people will listen. At least our friends, you know, the News Junkie will listen. So we went to my house that night from the bar. Like, went to my house, and I opened up my laptop, and he's like, well, do you have any microphones? I told him I did. I'm like, yeah. And we get there. I didn't have any microphones. I had a microphone on the top of my computer, like next to the webcam. I had a little dot. It was a little black hole. And we were entering the black hole by talking into it.
So that was where the name came from.
That was pretty much the concept of it. Yeah. Yeah.
That's really fun. Yeah. That's really fun.
Entering the black hole. That's what we were doing.
What was the first episode?
Oh, my God. I can't even fucking imagine how shitty that must have been. I think we recorded it, again, like right at my laptop, open, no mics, just talking into the screen. In a garage that wasn't closed in. It was hot as fuck. Mosquitoes. Like, rats and shit. Like, we got there recording late. We see, like, rats run across the floor. Like, just little shop rats, you know? They're like a little mouse. Not a rat, but Anyways.
Yeah, I know.
It was bad. I mean, we thought it was cool because we're like, hey, we're fucking recording. We see these little lines, these squiggly lines. Like, that's our sound. We can, put that out there.
Yeah.
And I went back, I want to say like 6 months ago. I went back and like, listen, I guess they were still up on Spreaker. All the beginning shows. It was so bad. I had to pull them.
Really?
I didn't want anybody else to like do research on me and be like, oh, listen to this episode. Number three, Veteran the Black Hole. I don't want to use it against me. So it was like
how everyone says the cliche drunk friends talking shit.
Yeah, it was. But I'm sure the content was okay. But just like every starting podcast, we didn't have the equipment. And literally the audio quality was unlistenable. Like if you played it back, there's no way you could be driving down your car listening to that. And hear us effectively, the background noise, and it was a trash. Audio trash, you know?
That's, oh, man.
Now I'm really picky about it, like my audio, and make sure it's perfectly crystal clear and all levels are like at least close.
So how did you get it? So when did you start really taking it seriously? Was it after the first episode, or was there like a point where you're like, well, I actually feel like this is going to go somewhere?
I really didn't know where it was going to go. I think there was one point where we upgraded from talking to the screen until we got these gaming headphones, right? Like ones you get, like Turtle Beach, like gaming headphones you get for like Xbox and shit. We got a couple sets of those, and I got a splitter that would split the microphone input of my laptop to ours. So we put two of ours into one plug and plug that into the laptop. That way we could actually get two different microphones in front of our faces. And I found, wow, I can actually get five different microphones on this one little splitter, yeah. So we started doing that for a little bit, and I started enjoying it, and the quality's a little better. I'm like, okay, this is maybe we're getting somewhere. Our first ever interview with anybody we ever had in the show, I'll give him a plug, Tony Barrett.
Tony Barrett.
He's a stand-up comedian here in Orlando.
Really?
Yeah, he does a voice for the Re-Up. He used to be on Burning Down. He's been on podcasting a lot. He's been part of Tom and Dan scene and New Junkie scene since the beginning. Like, he's been there on our side, too. Like, he was our first interview. I think because he was in chat room, and we were friends of meetups, and we got him to come in. And after we did it, we did the show. Because I had put on these gaming headphones, and he's like, "Whoa, dude!" He's like, "I feel like somebody who works at McDonald's right now," because he had like the microphone around his face, and I said, "You know, you look like somebody who works at McDonald's." And we all started tears laughing. And then after we're done with the show, he did a little stupid joke like that. At the end of the show, Tony said, "Hey, man, I want to let you guys know, you guys got something here. You know, I've been on a lot of podcasts. I've been on shittier ones than this." I'm like, "Well, thanks, man." Like, you know, he's like, no, trust me. He's like, "You guys got something here." He's like, "Whatever you do, don't stop doing it. Just keep going." Right. I don't know what it is about what he said. It just hit home, man. And I think a couple weeks after that, I went to Sam Ash or somewhere, and I got that PreSonus 6.8. Yeah. With the four digital inputs, I bought the microphones online. I spent a good like $800 on a good setup.
So were you just planning on like having this? Like, where did the idea for the studio come from? But just original, or was it originally just to be like going here and there, like a travel podcast?
We never moved, but well, we did. At the very beginning, we did one show like on the spot. We did it with my phone. Like, my phone was just sitting on a table.
Yeah,
and we actually had like 30 people come up and sit down and talk to us.
Really,
talking into our phone. Yeah, it was pretty cool. It was amazing how much people we got to come in and talk to us. And we had funny jokes. They had funny stories. They all ended up coming back to our studio later at some point. And the cool thing was is that I realized, wow, if I could just get the equipment, I could make it sound good, and we could just do this all at my house. And, of course, necessity is a birth of invention. It's a mother of invention, and that's why I was like, you know what? I'm tired of sweating while I'm doing the show. Let's close this in and put an air conditioner in this thing. You know, And that was why we did that.
So the studio was built already, or was it built in?
That place was a two-car garage, right?
Yeah.
And the one in the garage is still there. I just sealed it off and drywalled it in.
Yeah.
And it's not a garage anymore. Now it's just a studio. But I still have the one side of my car is in there, so I have my my shop still. But I just closed half of it down. I'm like, oh, we just drywall. I went to Home Depot, got a bunch of drywall, some wood. And it was funny seeing Anthony swing a hammer with two hands. I'm like, Anthony, have you ever done this before? He's like, yeah, you swing it with both hands. I'm like, I don't think you know how to use a hammer.
You and Anthony have a really interesting chemistry with each other.
Yeah.
Like, what was the tell between you two where it just kind of snag? Like, you're just both like, this works for us.
He gives it to me. Like, every time we do a show, like, he gives me all the ammunition I need to make it funny. that make fun of him. And then when he defends himself, he always messes that up, and I get to capitalize on that, you know, and then it turns into an inside joke. And other people, I mean, then, like, I mean, have you seen his Facebook posts? He can't type at all. He can't spell anything. He can't write anything. And it's just a running joke, and he perpetuates it, not even on purpose. It's just the way he is. And I don't know why our chemistry is so good. We've always been good friends. He's never done me wrong. He's let me use his car a million times for no reason. So I mean, we've always been friends. I'm guessing it's probably for the podcast. That's how we kind of base our relationship. Because before that, we didn't really have much of a relationship.
Yeah.
But since the podcast, you know, that's why we're best friends now.
Oh, yeah. How much of a help has he been for the overall show?
Who, Anthony?
Yeah.
I can't do the show without him.
Really?
I mean, I've done it without him before, and they're not good. Like, usually they're not. It's always something weird about it. It's always off. It's never the same unless me and Anthony do it, you know. And if without him, I wouldn't do the show. I don't know if I could do another podcast, like, by myself without him. I don't know if I could. It'd be weird.
Yeah.
Because you don't. It takes a long time to learn your partner, how they, like, their mannerisms, what they say, and, like, and you know, and you get kind of predicting what they're going to say next, you know? You learn that person. It's like your best friend.
Yeah.
And that gives us an advantage with the chemistry and the content because we're best friends. It's like Tom and Dan are, like, they're best friends, and that's why the chemistry is so good, because they already know each other so well. They play off each other's humor,
yeah,
and it works, you know? When you get someone fresh on your show, you know, you're friends with, you know, you go to bars with here and there, but you're not best friends with, then it doesn't, you know, you don't get that same chemistry, I believe.
That is that's actually a really great thing to hear, you know. So I cameo in sometimes on One Salty Cult with Aaron. And
yeah, I've listened to that, and I thought you were great. You're a natural.
Oh, thank you.
Yeah, man. You're a great second. It sounded like you guys have been doing it 20 years, you know.
Oh, thank you. I used to be a radio. I used to be another personality on other podcasts, and I was on the radio WPRK for a little while. So that I try to bring that experience there.
Yeah, how was that, man? I mean, I couldn't imagine. You had to go to a real radio station. And,
yeah.
And you had, you know, your commercials, you had to run the board, all that kind of shit.
Yeah, you have to come up with something every week. You have to, or else
you come up with a bit.
Yeah, a bit. Yeah, yeah. You know, I had a running character called the Uberman Child.
Okay.
For a while.
I know. I'm not familiar with this.
I know. Yeah, because I was on early morning with Freddie G., and I was supposed to be an in-house band with him called Harbinger. I was going to be the lead guitarist.
Okay.
And end up, he was a person short for the show.
They ended up changing that.
Yeah, they ended up changing that, you know. So, like, you could be both the guitarist and the Uberman Child. I'm like, all right, I feel that.
Right.
So it was mostly I did stuff.
Whatever happened with that?
Oh. Well, it just, I felt like I was just, I wanted to do more.
They thought they were paying you too much. You thought they weren't paying
they
you
weren't
enough.
Paying me at all. There was no pay.
I know those.
But it was just more or less I wanted to start branching out on my own,
right,
having a more influence.
No, and look, today, that's the way to do it, you know?
Yeah, man.
You have the outlet. Look at us. We're doing a fucking show outside of a bar that I used to do refrigeration AC for.
Yeah, you did?
many years here.
That's what also I want to get into, the Rick Emerson off the podcast.
Yeah.
what do you do for work? You are an HVAC technician?
I started out as AC guy. Now I consider myself, I do commercial refrigeration. That's what I do. Yeah, mostly big stuff, like 7-Elevens, you know, big-ass cooler they got in there.
So you do corporate.
Division. Yeah, big stuff. Big stuff, yeah. So, I do commercial refrigeration and AC, too, especially in the summertime when they're shorthanded. They need help. It's hot as fuck. Shit's broken. They need me out. I got, you know, the same tools they got and stuff, so.
Yeah, that's awesome.
But, I did residential AC for a long time, man. I don't miss doing that. That sucks.
Why? What's the difference between corporate HVAC technician and residential?
No, residential, you got fucking dogs and shit. They fucking bite dog shit in the yard you're stepping on. Their air conditioner's in the fucking attic, you know, kind of deal. Oh, I'm twisted here. Yeah. The air conditioner's in the fucking attic, you know, that kind of deal.
Oh.
You know, the compressor outside is surrounded by bushes and and not just that, but then you can't make all of the people. Sometimes the people just don't want to be happy. It's like a never-ending mission to try to save the world, make everyone happy, and then it's just not going to happen. You know?
You get multiple calls from one person usually?
No, it's just like they call and the AC's not working. It's got a bad compressor. And it's Saturday night.
Yeah.
And I'm not putting the compressor in tonight. You know, that's just all there is to it.
I hear you on that.
I don't have one in my truck. You know, the store's closed. You're not, you know. I mean, theoretically, we can call them and open them up, and then pay the after-hours fee and get the part and do it. Yeah. I'm just not doing it, you know?
I feel
And they don't like to hear that. And That's an industry standard. You don't do that. You schedule that for like a business hour, or at least the next day. Yeah. You wouldn't do it at midnight.
How much does that happen to you, like while you have been working for as you have?
Well, I did 15 years of fucking residential, man. So 15 years of being like on call, which means it doesn't matter what time it is. If they call and they want you to come, then you got to go. So they call at 3 o'clock in the morning. Their AC's not working. You have to get up. I don't care how much you've been drinking that night or whatever. You know, you shouldn't have been drinking at all because you're on call. And, most companies, that the standard is 7 days. So you're a whole week. You get to work all week during the week. And then when you get off work, you're not off work. You get called anytime they want to call you after work. And that, a lot of AC guys and companies still work that way. And it sucks, man. It's not just that, but you can only go so far until you stop learning. Like, at a certain point, I realized how the whole machine works, Freon, the compressors, electricity. I understand how it works. I'm not progressing myself in the field anymore. Right. I've hit the top. I hit the limit. I understand how it all works. Now I want to do, like, Walmart fucking freezers, you know? Like, that's big shit, you know? That's a whole different ballgame.
Huge.
Yeah, it's a whole different ballgame, different field, different
difference?
Well, the difference being, you know, power's different. The size, you know, those freezers at Walmart are, like, 28 doors on one side. And they have to be at 0 degrees, or they like them -10, and they're opening and closing them all the time.
Wow.
Air's getting in, they're freezing up, they're icing, there's, you know, defrost problems. It's much bigger scale. It's the same concept, much bigger scale, more safeties, and there's more things that, again, there's more depth in the field where I can advance myself. And
right.
Like, hey, I didn't know that's what that was for. Like, now I know, you know. I mean, I've learned pretty much everything about that now.
That's
too.
Pretty awesome. How long do some of these projects go on? Like, with these, because these sound like big, big projects. And I used to be a landscaper, and when we talk terms like that, these projects could probably be a week or two.
Oh, yeah. Some of these, they'll put temporary units up just because they can't be down. There's one customer that we do now. I won't say the company I work for, but one of the customers we do work at is BioLife Plasma in Orlando. And they do like blood.
I'm familiar
they
with
like
that.
Blood. I don't know. They take
the plasma.
Yeah, but they have to store it at like -30 degrees.
Oh wow!
So they have these warehouse, like the size of a warehouse. The whole thing is -30 degrees, and it cannot go under -30 degrees under any circumstance. So there's millions of dollars worth of blood in here.
Oh my!
And
gosh.
If it goes to -25, it's ruined it, and they millions of dollars are lost. So the way they have this thing set up is that they have one unit that can do the whole thing by itself. And they have another unit. It looks just like it. Same unit on the other side. It's the backup unit only. It doesn't run unless the first one stops. So it's a redundancy thing.
Shit.
But if they call, the whole company's coming in the middle of the night. You know what I'm saying? Like,
yeah.
There's millions of dollars on the line. And they get to a point where, like, they don't care how much we charge because it doesn't matter. They have to do it at this point.
Right.
So then we got them by the balls. You know, we charge them fucking $5,000 to come out. You know,
yeah.
$5,000 an hour, you know.
Yeah.
Plus, you know, 5,000% upcharge on the parts, you know,
yeah.
All that shit.
They got the money for that.
But that's the demand of the field, you know. Sometimes you got to do what you got to do. Now, that's less likely to happen, especially with the redundancy systems. These bigger ones have those redundancy systems where it's not an emergency. We don't have to go
right.
Right away,
explain, you know? What is a redundancy system?
It's a backup that has the same capacity as the original unit that cools the unit. It's the same. It's basically like two units. One can do it by itself, no problem, and does do it. It's a primary. It just all it does is run and do it. If it stops for any reason, the backup unit, which is the same exact unit that never runs, is working fine, will kick on to take over the load while the first one's undergoing repairs.
Okay.
But see, once that happens, they're an emergency pretty much because they can't. That second one can't go down. So now we have to get the primary back up so we got back up again. Without a backup, they're fucked. Backup's that little buffer
yeah.
area, you know.
Oh, right there.
That keeps you keeping safe. They keep the money safe.
Okay, you know? Okay. How big are some of these, generators that you work with?
Well,
sometimes?
They're compressors.
They're compressors.
They're the size of this building. I mean,
really?
Yeah,
literally that big?
Go inside them and shit. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Oh, yeah.
Wow.
Big, big shit. Yeah.
That is amazing.
Stuff. Yeah, yeah.
What's the biggest job that you've ever had to do? What's the biggest compressor?
The biggest you never worked on was a chiller at Fashion Square. Oh, shit. Did it again. Fashion Square Mall. JCPenney.
Oh, that one.
There's a 100-ton chiller on the roof. Okay? And it has 100 tons of cooling capacity. All right?
Holy.
that's
wow.
That's a big one. That's a big one. Typically, you see like units like a place like that will have a bunch of smaller units that run it.
Yeah.
And there's your redundancy again. So if one breaks down, they got 55 other ones that are running. You know, they have one unit for each area. But this one has one big one that does the whole building.
And, wow.
It's just AC, but 100 tons.
Tons.
To give you a perspective, if you have like a three-bedroom house, you have probably a two-and-a-half-ton, maybe a three-ton unit.
Wow.
This is a 100-ton unit, yeah.
This is the size of a building.
It's giant, yeah. Oh, absolutely.
Jeez. Why that big?
Change a couple compressors. Just designs. Engineers design these buildings, and you're at the mercy of the engineering of the building. That's all there is to it, you know? I mean, I like the ones, the smaller ones, because of more redundancy.
Yeah.
You know, like, oh, okay, well, this one area is going to be warm now because the unit's down, but not the whole building. I'm so glad I don't fucking do AC anymore. I hated that shit.
So what do you do now? Just these compressors now?
I do like refrigeration, yeah.
Refrigeration.
Stuff. Mostly 7-Elevens. My big thing now is doing 7-Elevens, walk-in coolers.
Yeah.
They have these systems called beacon systems. They're basically like self-monitoring. They can like, they hire a company that watches these refrigerators. It watches the pressure of the Freon. It watches the air temperature in the box. It watches the pressures of the Freon. You know, like the temperature, everything. The temperature of the pipes. And if something goes wrong, they'll call us. And I get to go out and find out what's wrong. And I also have like a portal on my laptop where I can see, like they'll call me to 7-Eleven, hey, this unit's not working. I'll go there, I'll log in the computer, put in that store number, and I can see all three units on my laptop. It'll tell me, okay, unit number one, you know, discharge air temperature, return air temperature, pressure, everything. Oh, that's good. Number one, number three, it's got a fucking 55-degree superheat. Something's wrong with that unit. Wow. So while I go there, while I'm on the way, I'm already knowing, okay, well, number one, number two are good. It's number three. I go right number three and start looking into the problem. And I could make an adjustment, go back to my truck. Oh, I fixed it. Okay, good.
That quick?
Yeah. You have to use a call and stuff or wait. But now I actually see it in real time. So this is where like technology is coming into like benefiting a lot. Yeah, so it's good.
What type of technologies and things did you have to learn getting into this field? Like,
luckily, I've already been. Man, I started building computers when I was 9.
Yeah,
I get fascinated with PCs when I was like 9 or 10, and I worked with my uncle Eric doing irrigation. He had an irrigation company.
Really?
And in my summertime from school, I would work with him. And I would just earn, and he'd pay me like, fuck, I don't know, $5 an hour or some stupid shit like that. It was bust-ass hard work. But I learned a lot about irrigation, too. But I would save for a whole summer, and I'd buy a nice computer. He had a connection at a warehouse where they could buy, like, parts, like, wholesale, cheaper. So I'd buy a motherboard and a processor and a case at a wholesale, put it all together myself, and I started building computers. So when I started doing this field and I needed to use computers, I was already like, oh, okay, I know how to use computers already. I can write code. I've done a lot of different things.
So, really? Yeah, Have you ever did a job where your skill like that could, you know, where you can make money off of that? Like, have you ever done data entry for anybody?
I did scripting for Grand Theft Auto for a little time.
Really?
Yep, I did some coding for Grand Theft Auto.
Well, explain scripting. How does that work?
Okay, so, like, Grand Theft Auto, the game, if you think about, if you ever play Grand Theft Auto, it has like a, you know, you do anything. You have cars, roads, police system, you know, buildings. Grand Theft Auto, you can do anything in the game.
Yeah.
Well, that's the engine. That's what all, you know, the big teams take to make the images, the physics, all that shit. Well, when you create the storyline and make the cutscenes and start implementing speed limits and shit like that, that's when you can actually, that's scripting, where I can take the game mode. Right, and I'd say, okay, we want to make this police officer have a radar system, right? So in order to do that, I got to make a new callback function where they can type radar, and when they type radar, it's going to come up with a series of people in an area and what their speed is doing. So that was the original idea, and they liked that. But then I got even more into the geometry of the game and figured out, well, now I can give them a real-time radar, like if the car's coming down the street, there's a cop, like if you're a cop car in a corner, and a car's hauling ass down the road, you can point your little thing at your car at them, and it'll tell you how fast that car's going in real time.
Really?
And it was hard to do. There's a lot of math involved. You know, where's X, where's B, and then how fast is X getting towards B, at what coordinates, I gotta get X, Y, Z, and figure out, you know, in a timer, take two of them, two sample coordinates in a timer, and do math and figure out how much distance you traveled, and then put that in the game. So I did that for GTA for a little bit. And it was fun. I did any cheat scripts too. Like if you had a cheater, it would ban them automatically from the game.
Wow, really?
Yeah, I wrote all that stuff. Yeah,
that's interesting. Yeah, took cheat codes away.
Yeah, it was pretty cool, man. It was a good learning experience, and it was fun, man.
Yeah.
A lot of fun. I love scripting, man. It was a good time.
That's pretty fun. Do you plan on doing any of like stuff for that, for Entering the Black Hole? Like,
I've thought about it. Like, even the websites and shit. I never really did websites, but I have so much going on. Like, it's just easier to pay someone else to do it.
Yeah.
I do all the editing for my show. Like, for my audio, producing. I do all of that 100% in-house in my studio.
Right.
You know, I do all that. That's my job.
Yeah.
And Anthony's job is to find the guests and, you know,
like the right situations.
Yeah, don't talk right.
Yeah, basically, don't talk right, Ant. So. Well, that's really awesome, man. What did you do before you got into HVAC?
Well, I got real lucky. I got into it right away. I graduated high school when I was 15.
Yeah.
Ninth grade was my last year of high school. I went right into a vocational school and got my high school diploma. It wasn't a GED. It was a high school diploma. Big deal. But I immediately my dad wanted me put in college. By 16, he wanted me to go to college. Valencia accepted me without any pre-level entry exams. And I was like, Dad, I just got out of school. I didn't want to go back to school. I'm like, I don't want to do that.
Yeah.
You know? And he's like, well, you're not going to sit at home and smoke weed all day, you know? So I was like, you come work with me. And I knew, like, he did AC, and he worked for himself. He had been doing it a long time.
Oh, nice.
And from the few times I did work with him, I knew that everyone loved him. He made a ton of money. And he did pick his own hours, his own job. Like, he could turn down jobs. It wasn't like working for a big company.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, yeah. So, like, he did all on his own. And he's like, well, come work with me. And he taught me everything I know, man. And now I teach him shit, you know?
Really?
Yeah, oh, yeah.
Well, that's really awesome. What type of things do you teach your dad?
Every once in a while, I get an ice machine or something, like a newer one.
Yeah.
It has the computers on it. And he don't know how to. Oh, that's... I don't know why I do this, son. I'm trying to get into the service log of this Pentatonic, and I can't get into it.
Oh, that sounds fun, man. That's really fun. You have a wonderful relationship so far from what I hear.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Well, my dad's great. He's not doing it. He had a couple of open heart surgeries a couple of years ago, and they said it only lasts 10 years, and we're only got like 4 years left. So it sucks. I mean, he's like, I'm going to die soon. I'm like, man, don't say that, you know. But,
I'm sorry to hear that, man.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. It sucks.
But you spend all the time you can with
him. Yeah, exactly. I can't live with him anymore. We live with each other too long. I can't live with him anymore.
Yeah.
But it's nice that we have a really good relationship now. I get to see him whenever I want. I help him out. He needs my help. I come help him. And every once in a while, I need a few bucks. He'll let me borrow a few bucks, you know? So it's cool, man. He's a really good dad. I wish I could do that for my son. I hope I'm able to provide that for my son. Because he gave me a gift that I can have the rest of my life. Like, no matter what happens to me, I'll always have a job here in Florida somewhere. I'll find a job doing refrigeration or AC. Like, that'll never stop because that's always in demand. It'll never go away.
And that's really awesome. Do you plan?
Yeah.
And you mentioned you have a son, right?
Yeah, yeah.
And do you plan on getting him into the industry as well?
You know, I want better for him. I wish he'd find a job as, like, inside, using his brain. Like, you know, the work I do is very physical, which sucks. But it takes a lot of intelligence too to diagnose these complicated machines, and doing all that under a stressful condition can be hard. I mean, look at me, bro. I look like I'm 50. I'm 32
no, you
years
don't.
Old, man. Because the sun will fucking kill you, man.
Yeah, man. You're 30. Yeah. How old?
32.
You're only 2 years older than me.
Yeah, man. I look like I'm fucking 50, don't I?
No, you
it's
don't.
It's the sun. I'm telling you, bro. The sun don't give a shit, bro. It will kill anything it's under. You'll never escape the power of the sun, ever.
Oh, no, man. How long have you lived in Florida?
Born downtown, bro.
Really?
Right down the street from here.
Really?
Princeton right here by Ivor. I was born.
Born and raised Orlando.
Born, yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
Have you ever traveled?
Oh, yeah. Yeah. About 5 years ago, I went to California on a trip. A friend of mine gave me an opportunity to go, and I drove there. I went from fucking Cocoa Beach to Venice Beach.
Really?
Yeah, 3 days, three full days of driving, bro.
Morning
to night, you know?
Jeez.
It was pretty cool to see the landscape change while you're driving, though. You can see it all change gradually. That last day was really hard to get through, man, driving. And just after the third day, you're like, fuck, man. It just, you just get so bummed out from being in the car so long.
Dude.
But it was pretty cool. It was like being in a different country, man, over there. California was like a different planet.
Really?
Man, it was like just nothing like here at all. Weather is different. And it was hot, too. Like, I went in the summer, and there was one part of the day where I was outside. It was like 110 degrees.
Wow.
But I didn't even sweat. No sweat at all.
Really?
There's no humidity. So you get like you can feel the heat from the sun, but it's not like as piercing as it is here in Florida, like where the second you walk outside here in Florida, you're sweating. I mean, the moment you walk out, you're going to start sweating. That's just the way it is.
That high humidity here.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. And then that's the part that fucking makes it feel, quote, hot, you know?
Yeah. You know, it can be 80 degrees, but you're walking in like a...
Yeah, that's why they give you that feels like thing with the humidity, because that's what it really feels like.
Yeah.
You see the bats? Look at that, bro.
Yeah, we got bats out here joining us in the experience.
Yeah.
Isn't that cool? Yeah, it is. We have a very different wildlife here in Florida. Yeah. It's very eclectic.
I got my
house
too, right this time of night. I don't know what it is. The mosquitoes come out, and that's why they come out.
Yeah.
They're cool. They fly all weird.
Yeah, man.
They got no feathers and just weird.
How many animals have you seen growing up in Florida?
Oh, man, I've seen all kinds of shit. I'll never forget one time at my dad's house in the backyard. There's deer.
Yeah.
Deer in the backyard. I'm like, oh, that's pretty cool.
Wow.
That's my dad's a property out in Kissimmee, South Orlando.
Like a ranch or just a...
It is pretty much a ranch. It's a trailer. It's on a piece of land. We don't have any cows or anything, but... I'll tell you this: if you take it has a good sized piece of property, and if you take a shovel and like dig in the ground, within the first couple scoops, you'll smell cow manure. At one point, that place was a cow pasture or a field. At some point,
Really, you had rich cow patties. I'm betting.
Oh, they're out there. No, they're definitely out there. But there's a place down in Orlando, like down by in Edgewood.
Yeah.
Like in the Cut neighborhood between Edgewood and like Cimarron down there. It's on Hoffner. And it's like a little lake with a big, like, it looks like a naval establishment there.
Naval.
But the lake is...
I know where you're talking
about. The lake is small. It's not that big. But from what I heard, it's like 500 feet deep or some shit.
Really?
Yeah. They do like Navy tests and shit down there. It's like all warnings and like, you can't go in that water.
Wow.
And they do something in there, but they won't tell you like what they're doing. It's weird.
That is pretty cool that we have that here in Orlando.
There's all kinds of weird spots in Orlando I've been to. I'm like, what the fuck? Fuck is this?
Really? What was the most interesting spot you've been?
That was a pretty cool place too. Like I've been there, I was skateboarding, like, whoa, what is this little lake with you know?
They just caught you.
Yeah, I just saw it and then they're like, oh, you know, there's like a Navy guy comes out, it's a restricted area. And
oh, wow.
You know, like, oh damn.
That's what like was that.
It looked like a boat that was a part of, like, on the water, but it was on land, you know. But the whole building was built like a cruise ship. Like it had hatches and round windows and shit. And they were doing something in there, For all I know, half the building probably went in the water.
Maybe.
So I have a Hoffner down there by Orange Avenue. You come up Orange Avenue, go down Hoffner a little bit.
That probably sounds like it's in the water, or something.
Wait, not Hoffner, something else. Before a street before Hoffner. I'm not sure exactly the name of the road. I used to live over there. I grew up over there.
Really?
In Edgewood. I spent some time over there in Belle Isle. My dad did pretty good for himself. We had a nice little house there in Belle Isle. Nice. Had a homeowner association though. It was a pain in the dick. My dad hated it. Couldn't make anybody happy. You got a flat tire in your driveway, they give you a ticket.
Yeah. So what's one of the most interesting, other than that, interesting places in Florida have you seen? Like, just an uncanny type of, like, why is this lit here?
There's a bunch of different weird places I've been. One of the coolest places I've ever been, I remember it, was in a Kissimmee by my dad's house. There's a place off Boggy Creek Road by 417. And within like the last 20 years, I guess the airport bought that property. There used to be a cut through street. It would go from Boggy Creek at 417. It brought you all the other side of Boggy Creek by Narcoosie. Well, the airport bought that whole property. He lives off of like Boggy Creek and Boggy Creek.
Yeah.
And in that area, like there's an abandoned road. There's a road where you could see like, you know, just wear and tear on the road, oil stains on the side of the road. People fucking broke down. But they chained it off. It's all roped off fucking Orlando Airport. Yeah, so I got a dirt bike when I was like 18, 19.
Nice.
My dad's house, and I found a little fucking path down there. I brought you back there. And I get that. It's like beyond my own road. There's literally an abandoned highway. No one's on. And I just go fucking 100 miles an hour of that bitch, you know? And there's like every like few hundred yards of a trail off to the left, to the right, into the woods. It just went somewhere.
How huge was that?
Giant, dude. This is you know, probably thousands of acres of land out there
just
by the airport.
Just cut off.
Yeah, just cut off from everybody else. It's all just chained up. The perimeter's chained off, you know?
Really?
But
literally chained.
Just chained off. You can't get in it. You can tell where there used to be like a street light there. It's not there anymore. I took it all down. And it's just you drive straight through. I got back there one time, a couple times actually, and there's a lake. Which actually the road kind of threw me off because I got on the road and went down there for a couple miles, and I got down like around a corner, and all of a sudden like a section of the road was just dug out. Like someone took a backhoe and just dug the whole road out, 25 foot down. It was like just the road was broken in half. You had to go down like a side and go back around again on top of it again. But there was a little path down there. I took a little path down to this place. And there was a little sign. You could barely read it. Like the city put it there maybe 50 years ago. And it says, "Welcome to Crystal Lake." And it's a small little place. And sure as fuck, and then this little trail, there's a fucking lake. And it's not a giant lake, but it's a pretty good sized lake. You can see the bottom of it. It's crystal clear. I mean, it's not like a murky, like 99.9 of the other lakes you come across in Florida. You can see the bottom of it. Like, you can see fish everywhere. Like, they can hide.
Wow.
So apparently there's a spring that feeds off of it 24/7. It constantly feeds. And
that is amazing.
Yeah, I went down there. It was very fucking cool. And then I think I brought a joint with me, smoked a joint by the lake. And then I went back to my dad's house. And then I told my neighbor about it. My neighbor, he was a young kid, like a 15-year-old kid. But he had a dirt bike, too. And I'm like, dude, you want to go ride? Because he liked to ride. I'm like, fuck it, go ride with me. Yeah. We'll ride together. And I brought him back there. And then that's the first time I had a fucking police officer chase me on a four-wheeler. That had red and blue lights on it. It was chasing me on a four-wheeler. I'm like, what? This is not a cop behind me. Now, I remember it was a four-wheeler, good size, like a Honda. He had red and blue strobes. Pull over with a fucking PA and everything.
Yeah.
Full gear. I mean, he's caught me off guard. We're driving down that abandoned road.
All right.
This kid. And he looks back, and I see him. He starts gunning it. Fuck it, dude, because I had a 250. Like, I go 120 mile an hour. That little four-wheeler can't go to 120.
Yeah, no.
So I just started gunning it. I put in six gear.
Wow.
You know, I'm doing 100 mile an hour down there. I even left my buddy. I'm like, good luck, you know. And I never went back there. But I guess my friend got away, too. He's like, man, I've never seen a four-wheeler. There's a house back there, dude.
Really?
An abandoned house. You never been to a house that's abandoned, like in the middle of the woods?
No, not really.
It's the weirdest feeling.
Really?
Yeah. You can tell people used to live there, man. Like, that. There was still, like, some stuff there.
Really?
But, like, a lot of the front doors kicked in. Like, the drywall was smashed and stuff. And
that's so eerie.
But there was a house back there. I think that's why the cops came. Because there must be, like, cameras or something over there.
Really?
Like, it's because it's a part of Orlando International Airport. They haven't used it for the airport at all yet. But they bought the property. They're using it. There must be surveillance. Otherwise, how would they know we were there?
Right.
Yeah. You know?
That's so creepy. How was it? Like, what was it like going in there? It was, like...
Scary, dude. But it's a cool feeling. That's what I love about riding. You find places, I don't know if it's cool or not, let's just go and see what happens. You see something, you just get the fuck out of there. You know?
Is that one of the weirdest things, or what is like the other weirdest thing you've witnessed?
I don't know. There was a time, we admit this on the show. There's a time I moved back to Ocoee, all right, and I had my daughter a couple years later, and I had the same bike still.
Yeah.
And I lived in the city, well, it's Ocoee, and you drive golf carts on the street, but cops saw your dirt bike, they kind of give you a hard time. So there was a little golf course, little ways down the road.
Yeah.
Take my dirt bike, go down that golf course. And I start tearing up that golf course, right? Just tearing that motherfucker up. Oh, boy. I mean, that bike would put a rooster tail 60 foot of dirt. I would just tear the bitch up. And then security would come on their golf carts.
Yeah.
Chasing me in their golf carts. Wee, hey, yelling and screaming and shit. I fucking let him get kind of close and just take off. Like, fuck with him, right? Well, I did like once or twice, and I kind of got scared doing that. Like, that was ballsy, bro.
Yeah.
Bro. And I know they're called. I saw cops and shit come after I left before. So I knew when I go there, I'd get in and out quick. You know, I knew I was going to do it a couple more times.
Yeah.
Last time I went, I'm like, all right, I'm going to get him good today. I'm going to write my fucking name on the fucking, you know, something. And they said they came. And I'm like, I'm going to get a little bit closer this time. And I think it was hole number 9. What I would do is, as they're on the way to chase me, I start jumping like the sandbars and like the sand pits and like showing off my skills to them. They can't do anything but drive towards me. They have time. I just keep doing it. And so I would do that. And then one of them was a little bit deeper than I thought.
Yeah.
And I hit the bottom of the bike and it stalled.
Oh, no.
And boom, boom, boom. Right? So I'm fucking like, oh shit. And I get out my bike, I'm pushing it off, I get it back on the green. And they're coming on the golf carts. They're like, they're probably now at 75 foot away or so. And then I jump back on the bike. I start hit it, boom, boom, kick. And then my bike had this weird thing about it. When it stalled like that, it wouldn't start on the first kick.
Oh, no.
It'd take a couple kicks, right?
God.
So I jump up, kick, boom, boom, boom. It won't start. Dude, the guy gets off the fucking golf cart, starts running towards me, last kick, ring. His hand was out, like almost the back of my shirt. And I fucking got out of there. And I got away. And I said, I'm never coming back here again.
That's wicked.
Yeah, and then actually, fast forward about a year later, some kids got arrested on four-wheelers out there. They're doing the same thing. They got felony charges and shit. And I was like, damn, I got away with that. Like, I would have went to prison, like a jail at least for a while. And
you probably influenced that a little bit.
I think they probably thought they were the whole time. Yeah, that was funny. But
that is actually very interesting. I'm crazy. How long have you been?
That was the craziest thing I ever did, though. When I was a kid, when I went to middle school, I lived with my Uncle Eric in Winter Park, right off Fairbanks 94.
Yeah.
Right in the corner there, behind a gas station. And there used to be a catwalk that went across I-4. It was a walkway for people. And it was there for kids that went to Killarney Elementary. They lived on this side of I-4. You had to walk that side of I-4 to get there. Okay?
No, I remember what you're talking
about. So it was a big catwalk, right?
Right.
But the whole thing was in cage with, like, chain link fence the whole way. I used to get on top of that thing with my bike. I would put my, like, I used to have a BMX bike. I loved to ride my BMX. I had pegs on it. I'd put the bike up on the side of the fence with the pegs hanging in it to hold the bike up. Climb on top of the cage, pull the bike on top of it, walk my bike up the cat ramp. I'm on top of I-4, on top of the overpass, on the cage, jumping it, because they had little bars holding up the chain link.
Right.
And my weight of me and the bike would go down low until I hit one of those little bars that were holding them up.
Right.
So I just went back and forth, just jumping these little things. Jump, jump, jump. People honking and shit. Remember one time I crashed and just landed on the fence.
Wow.
Back up and shit. Like, I had no fear of death. I don't know why. The cops came and shit, and, like, they caught me, and my mom lost. Like, I didn't live with my mom. I lived with my dad. I had just, like, started living with my dad after, like, a year or so.
Right.
My mom found out about it, and she lost her fucking mind. She's like, what are you doing on top of a catwalk on I-4? Oh, man, that...
Yeah,
I don't know why. Like, I had no fear of death.
I bet she freaked out. Oh, my goodness. I'd freak out. I was freaking out just listening.
Now, dude, I'm so scared of heights and shit. I wouldn't know. I wouldn't even walk up the normal part of the cat ramp. Like, the normal part. I wouldn't even walk up there.
It's pretty high up there, especially the Katy Way Trail one. Which, that's another nice one.
It was way high up there, man.
Yeah.
It was crazy. Yeah, I mean, when I look back on it, I'm like, that was dumb.
And she were riding since you were little then.
Yeah, yeah.
Oh, sorry.
No, you're good, man.
So, you still ride now, currently?
No, hell no.
No?
Man, I love motorcycles, and I love bikes. I should probably pick up a bike. I thought about it, so I can ride a bicycle, get in shape. It is fun.
It is.
Get moving. A bicycle actually gives you a little payoff. You get some wind. You know?
Yeah.
You know, running sucks, man. You get
it
barely
does.
Any wind, and you get all your muscles. Yeah, no. But I want to get a bicycle. That would be fun. But motorcycles, I love them. I always have loved them. But
yeah.
The problem is... other people.
Yeah.
It's so many idiots. I have a big truck on my work van, and you see the front of it smashed because some dumb bitch hit me.
Yeah,
if I was my bike, bro, you're dead. I mean,
yeah.
Just no forgiveness on that. Like, the price you pay for riding is your life. When someone makes a mistake, when you're not doing anything wrong, going through a green light, someone fucking hits you, you're dead, bro. You're fucking dead. Nothing protects you. You're dead. And that's why I don't ride. You know, that's why I don't ride.
I hear you on that.
Other than that, if it wasn't for that one reason,
yeah.
I would ride everywhere. You know, I love riding bikes.
I know, you know, and that holds true to me too. Because recently, I lost one of my godfathers in an accident like that. Like someone else's incident didn't look to the side or see him, just merged right into him, forced him in an oncoming traffic.
It could have been an honest mistake. It could have been negligence. It doesn't matter, does it? He's dead.
Yeah, he is. Yeah,
and that's why I don't ride. And because that's the price you pay. Now, I thought I had a little bit better of a deal because I had my Enduro. Enduro is like a dirt bike, and you're allowed to ride it street legal.
Right.
So it has turn signals and a headlight, brake light, but the tires are knobby. It's for dirt, you know?
Yeah.
But it has, like, the tires are designed for the street, too.
Right.
And that one, like, in that, if someone, like, you know, I could just hit the sidewalk, you know? And that'd be a little bit more safe, but
right.
You still can't get everything, bro. I'm still just an open person on a street. When they're in a 5,000-pound, you know.
Yeah, a death machine.
Exactly.
You know, a metal battering ram.
Yeah,
man.
Designed for safety of them.
Yeah, for
right,
them.
Right.
Not for you.
No.
There's
not
no outside, airbags. That's going to be edited.
That sound a lot of editing here. This
sound
show.
Like Rick Emerson. Or Rick Sanchez, actually. Another edit.
There you go.
Yeah, man.
Welcome back to the experience.
Welcome back to the experience. Fortunately, we don't edit much.
We're just starting over now.
No,
let's
not
pretend
really.
Like we just got here. We just started, all right?
No.
3, 2, 1, go.
Here on The Experience with Chris Fio, we're trying to sound like the Salty Cult. No, I'm just kidding. Love you, Aaron Sidargas. And that brings me to another question I have.
Right.
How did you get to meet Aaron?
So I'll tell you a little about Aaron. I love Aaron to death. And the way I met him was... I think, again, through the News Junkie chat, like, I met most of us. He was, like, he didn't chat much, but he was in chat. and that's how we got him in their studio the first time.
Yeah.
The real reason why I got him in the studio is because I knew he was doing podcasting, and I wanted a fellow podcaster in. And to be 100% honest with you, the day he came in, the first time I met him, that was the first time I met him. The first time I had him come into the show. Crystal was with me. We had just got together not that long ago before that. And he was so hyper and like up that I was nervous. I thought I was going to fight him. Like,
really?
I thought I was going to like end up fighting this kid.
Wow.
Because I get nervous like that when people are like so loud and like vocal and they stand up and like their mannerisms, like I just get nervous and it's like,
yeah,
calm down, bro. Like, what the fuck, you know?
Like, yeah.
Like, I think something's going to happen here. He's going to freak out. I'm going to have to hurt him. I don't know why. I was super stoned.
Right.
He was probably not. And he was on like 5 Red Bulls or whatever.
Probably.
I told Crystal too, didn't I? I was like, I thought I was going to fight him. Like, I don't know why that came to my mind, but it did. So fast forward a little bit. I saw him active on Podcast Mafia doing his own thing. I listened to a couple of his shows. This one that you did with him, and right, you were on there with him, and I was like, oh, that's not bad. And I'm like, Aaron, I reached out to him, like, hey, man, you want to, I have an idea for a show, because we started doing Dinker's Dump. We used to take voicemails on our show. We still do. And Dinker's, one of our listeners, would just leave like 10 times more than anybody else. So I was like, fuck, this almost needs his own show. Like, I can release all these voicemails. We'll do like a little pre-show before that. And Anthony didn't show any interest in that whatsoever.
Right.
So, no, don't do that. It's stupid. Like, we'll just do something else with him. And I, like, you know what? I just vetoed that. I'm like, fuck that. I'm going to do a different thing. And I'm like, I asked Aaron, hey, do you want to do this little bit with me? Or we just do these dumpster? Like,
I remember the day you did. He was telling me, like, you know,
really?
He just won the lottery.
No shit. I didn't know that. He didn't act like that.
Yeah, he was like, dude, I get to be the third mic and run my own segment on Entering the Black Hole, man. I'm moving up. I'm like, I'm glad, man. Happy for you.
Listen, he does a really good job, especially behind the scenes, set up interviews, promotion, just interact all around. He does a great job, man. He still makes me nervous sometimes.
Yeah.
I calm him down. But no, and he's good on mic. He has his good moments, and it was a good chemistry mix. I felt for us.
Right.
We actually gave Anthony somebody to bully. Anthony can bully someone now, you know?
He can't, I see that.
It kind of runs downhill a little bit, you know?
He's a little punching bag.
But yeah. Aaron is such a good sport about it, he doesn't flex, you know?
Yeah.
It's awesome. It just works out. You know? I appreciate a lot of the work he does for us.
Yeah, and I remember he told me he had some controversy, dude, you know, like, which your show was actually not a catalyst for, but just like a place where it might have been.
For what?
Like, from one other podcaster and him, like, they had a little falling out. Like, how did you feel about, like, when he had a little issue on there? Like, because he said he really just, like, almost, you know, really went off on that episode.
Yeah, there was some times where he did some things I didn't know about. And I guess I didn't know the whole story.
Right.
So there was some, like, unfinished business there. And on our podcast, it actually enabled him to have a voice. He knew that this was going to land in some ears, and he goes a little far sometimes, you know.
Yeah,
but that's exactly what we do on the show. We push the limit and you know, go as far as we can.
Right.
That's the goal.
So it's just controlled chaos.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. And sometimes he goes to extreme. I'm like, Aaron, just, you know, calm your back titties, sit down. You know, we're not doing that. It goes way too far. It's too far with it.
I feel you on that. He is like that. He's a, you know, he can be. I that's where I come in with him. Whenever I'm on the cold, I can kind of like just kind of draw him back. And that brings me back to the show. You have a lot of segments. How do you come up with these segments?
Well, dude, the beginning of our show was just, you know, it was just a freestyle podcast. You know, we just kind of talk shit, goes wherever it goes. And then Anthony wanted, just one day, he's like, I want to do a segment, man. Like, I want to do my own bit, my own radio bit. I'm like, what do you mean? And he's like, yeah, I want to do my own segment, and I want to call it Put Some Stank on It. And when I first heard it, I'm like, that is the dumbest idea I've ever heard in my life. Like, that is the stupidest thing I've ever heard. Like, what even made you think of this, you know? And he put the gun to my head, and I made him a little intro, and go figure, I found a nice clip on, what's the name of that movie, babe? What's the name of that movie? Liar, Liar. And it has,
Crystal Confirmed.
Yeah, and it has Jim Carrey in it.
Yes.
And he does that clip. He's like, it's not all about women. It doesn't even matter about you and Coleman anymore. He says, what happens? He comes in here and says, what happens? He says, put some stank on it, baby. And I'm like, wow, that's a perfect clip from YouTube. I put that on a trap, and like a trap remix,
yeah,
beat, and it fucking stuck, dude. Like, everybody that listens to our show knows Put Some Stank on it.
That is amazing.
And it just stuck. I don't know why it did, but and now when I play it, it seems so natural. When at first I was like, that's stupid, you know, and now it stuck, and it's a thing now.
That was the first segment ever that you had on the show, right?
It was the first segment. That was like our only thing we ever did for a while. Then we guys started getting the third mics, different third mics, and they would like want their own bit. So I'm like, all right, well, it's just an excuse for me to write a new trap remix now because I like doing that.
So you're the writer of the songs. I noticed like you remix songs about the sound bites that you have on the show.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah,
I figured that was a good idea. A lot of times, what I'll do is I'll play like the raw clip that I stole all the audio from, and then start the beat and start bringing back the clips from that little original sound bite.
That's really cool.
Yeah, it was a lot of fun. The first one I did, I thought was so funny. I thought it was funny. The whole show was so receptive to it. They're like, you got to keep it going. You got to keep it going. Let me do the hot sauce challenge. And Anthony was so adamant about not trying this hot sauce. He's like, I'm not doing that shit. Fuck that. He's like, I'll say anything you want. I'm like, oh, you're giving me great clips for a trap remix, you know? He's like, I'll give them all to you. Anthony's a pussy. All that shit. And he fucked up because when he gave me all the, I used every one he said in a trap. And it was, I think, one of my best work I ever did.
I think I've heard that when I first came on your show.
That's a good one. They're all on our podcast. I didn't put them out. You have to catch the show. Right. So I don't know what show they're on. I don't remember. I just put it at the beginning of one of the shows. Like, I just make the beat. Put it in the show. I just do that one show only, and never play it again.
You know? Right, and that's really an interesting thing that you came up with for the show itself, and it could be its own spinoff as well.
I learned how to do like sound editing and shit, and how to play with it, and it was fun. You know, like when you work on something and you see it play out, and you see other people's reactions, you're like, hey, that's cool as fuck, man.
That is. You know, I even see some of your videos, and I hear some of the songs actually on the show.
We'll
put them into the show.
We'll play them in there. Yeah, we'll put them in there. Sometimes put them on a break or. Sometimes we play other people's that we find, you know.
Right. Do you have any sponsors, by the way?
Yeah, we have a couple of them. Water Boys into Florida. Yeah. Local irrigation company in Orlando. Did great work. One of the best human beings I've ever met in my life. And I am so thankful and honored to have him as a friend. Like, we're just lucky, man. Just lucky to know good people like that, you know. I think it's just the nature of doing podcasting. You know, everybody's on the same goal. They want to laugh. They want to, you know, talk and shoot the shit. And it's a good thing. It's a positive thing. It gets people together, and rarely is there trouble with it, you know? And if I can get one person to laugh, man, I fucking did my job. That's all I care about. I like people laughing, you know? I'm not going to be a stand-up comedian. I can't talk good enough for that. Like, I can't speak good enough English. I stumble too much, and I can't do that. But I enjoy, like, making people laugh, man. If we can do that, it's just shooting the shit, like hypothetical scenarios or, you know. Anthony gives it to me, man. If we start talking about shit, I'm like, oh, yeah, so you did that? Like, I can twist it up so many ways. It works, you know? And it's great, man. I love podcasting. It's one of the favorite things I've ever done, ever.
That probably is.
If I would have known about it, I have to say this. I actually did this back in 1998.
Yeah.
I had this weird thing in my mom's house. I had a computer. I had this little device that it would record our sounds. And our friends would come over and get high, and I would record the whole conversation. I never put it on the, like, I never released it on, I didn't even think in my mind, like, where I could release it to.
Do you still have these?
No, they're long gone, many computers ago. They're long gone. But there was, my brother brought it up to my attention not too long ago. I'm like, wow, I did do that. I forgot about it. And I didn't play it back for anyone else. I just wanted to listen back to myself. Like, I would go back when I'm sitting there by myself and listen to it and get high and like, oh my God, this guy's crazy. We're talking about some stupid shit, you know? So I didn't even, it wasn't until a decade after that when I really started getting into radio again. Like, I didn't even know that what I was doing. I just wanted to record it. I don't know why. So technically, I've been podcasting since 98. if you want to get down to it.
All right. That's good. You have that title, man. You have that long experience with it. And, you know, you mentioned radio. You were on radio, right?
I was never on radio.
Oh, okay. No, okay. No. My mistake.
I say radio as a podcast.
Oh, yeah. It is the new wave of radio.
It is radio. I mean,
it is.
It's just uncensored, no commercials, uncut radio.
It is.
What's radio? People talking on the airwaves? That's what we're doing.
Yeah.
I guarantee you some days we're getting a little bit more listeners than the actual radio does. Because I could actually see our numbers. They can't. They don't know how many people are listening to their station.
Yeah, and it's
we know.
And it's great of how podcasting has exploded now. And I sometimes compare it to, like, the San Francisco gold rush of, you know, Orlando, like, with how it's going here. And that leads me to my last question for this interview. You're all about honesty. You're all about you know, getting the message out there and being fun. Are these the reasons why that listeners out there should take your podcast seriously and
well,
listen?
To be honest, I don't even take the show that seriously. So, like, most of the things we say are not serious. Now, like, if we're talking about stories and we're giving our opinion, obviously our opinions are pretty much truthful. A lot of times we joke with those too. And some people have a hard time differentiating, like, a joke. Like, when you're just trying to make a fucking joke, and even though you don't say, hey, that's a joke, you just say it, it's supposed to just roll off as a joke. It's a comedy show. You're supposed to take it with that. Some people take it literally and get mad about it. Some people, you know, don't care at all. Some people will, you know, be like, that wasn't bad enough. Like, they'll throw in their own horse shit, you know, to the angle. But the hard part is realizing that the show is a comedy show. It's not serious. If I say something, don't hold it to my head. We stretch the truth a little bit on our stories. You know, who doesn't? Who doesn't? That's what we do. That's what we talk about. So, no, we don't take it seriously at all. Like, we're the opposite of that. Now we talk about our stories. The stories are true. Things we're talking about are true. You know, how we twist it can be subject to interpretation. I've always said we play a character on a show, and that's who we play, you know?
Right.
You can't ever hold me accountable for saying something on the show because it's a comedy podcast and we're playing a character, you know? Take it for what you will, you know? That's what does it mean to you? That's what matters.
Okay? Exactly. Now, thank you for that answer. And that brings us to the end of this show. Is there any last things you want to say?
Well, thank you for having me. I'm sorry we didn't get to talk about more. It's hot as fuck out here. I'm talking my head off.
I know. It's the weather's hot. It's a bit blistering out here.
If you guys want to check out our podcast, it's Entering the Black Hole with Rick and Anthony. You can go to enteringtheblackhole.com. And we got shirts and shot glasses up there. At least listen to one of the shows. And check us out. If you guys like it, then leave us a voicemail, you know, whatever. Just interact. If you listen once and you don't like it, that's cool. It's not for everyone. But we like to give the benefit of the doubt. I listen to other people's podcasts. Like, I'm like, hey, I got to check this out. It's a new show. I want to see what it's about. A lot of times I'm like, you know, it sounds good, but it's not my cup of tea. And that'll come back around, trust me. Not my cup of tea. People get offended easily. But a lot of times I'll find a show, I'm like, damn, that's a good fucking show. I want to hear the next one, and I'm stuck on it now. It's better to listen to radio during the day. Yeah. Definitely. But yeah, if you guys want to check us out, enteringtheblackhole.com, and we're on Apple, Google, iHeartRadio, everywhere, man, everywhere.
Awesome. Go check them out at Entering the Black Hole. Rick Emerson, thank you
for
being on.
Me, bro.
Definitely.
Appreciate you, dude.
You're welcome. Everyone, right, have a good night. Thank you for listening to The Experience.
But right now I know there's no place in the world that I'd rather be than right here, just you and me. There's no place that I'd rather be than right here, just you and me. Just you and me. There's no place that I'd rather be than right here, just you and me. Just you and me. There's no place in the world that I'd rather be than right here, just you and me. There's no place in the world that I'd rather be than right here, just you and me. There's no place that
The Experience with Chris Fio is produced by Boris Douglas Garbe and Kyle Eagle. It is a joint production of Borma, Vonti, and PFT Media. The theme song is You and Me by Enmore Superstar. Place in the world that I'd rather be than right here, just you and me.
A PFT Media production.